call to it. We are to hold to the sunnah and call to it. For the ayah says, stick to what? To the rule of Allah. We can't gather everyone today or tomorrow. There is a principle that states, worship Allah, or rather, fear Allah as much as you are able. Mastata'tu. Fear Allah as much as you are able. He who can't accomplish all doesn't leave all of it. He does as much as he can. So at this time we call to sticking to the sunnah, and call all of our brothers in sticking to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we have the love that we should have regarding the Muslims. We have the love that we should have regarding the Muslims. And we love them in accordance to their closeness to the sunnah. The one closest to the sunnah, we love more than the one who may be further away from it. The Shaykh said, even Ahlul Bid'ah, as long as their bid'ah does not lead them into shirk, you have an obligation regarding them from two sides. From one side, you hate them for their opposition and going away from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the other side, you love them for what they have of Islam, because they still enter into the general ayat, the general hadith regarding Muslims, as long as they have not become what? Mushrik or kuffar. So this should be understood, that the kafir we hate. There's no room for love in the heart of the believer for a kafir. Even if this kafir was the closest one to him, even if this kafir was his father, or this kafir is his mother, or whatever, he cannot have love there. As the ayah that the Shaykh brought, you will not find those who believe in the last day, having any love for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Even if they were the closest of the closest to them, their mothers or their fathers or whatever. So this is regarding the kafir. And we can't guide them if Allah doesn't want guidance from them, and He brought an ayah regarding that. But someone who is upon bid'ah, if his bid'ah has not made him kafir, then he greets you, you greet him. You see him doing something of ta'ah, of obedience, you accept that from him. You see him doing something of ma'asi or sins, you reject that. The person is to be dealt with in the circumstance you find him in. You find him on disobedience that day, you dislike him or hate him for that disobedience. You find him on obedience the next day, you love him for that obedience. And this is the case. And he gave an example of a Shia'i praying in front of you and then coming to salam you, and you salaming him back. You find him making salat, and he salamed you. You salamed him, opens up an opportunity for you to give him da'wah. But if you find this Shia'i making their du'a called Sanami Quraysh, the two idols of Quraysh, and they mean by these two idols Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhum. Or you find this Shia'i saying, when Allah says in Quran, Allah orders that you slaughter a cow, saying in his tafsir that the cow is Aisha. Or you find, radiallahu anha, or you find that he's accusing Aisha of adultery, when Allah tabaraka has revealed all these ayats in Surah An-Nur, clearly testifying to her innocence, you hate him for all of that. You hate him from that side, and you love, as long as he's not outside of Islam and did those things which is kufr, you love him for what he has of Islam. So this is how the ta'awun or the cooperation is, upon fear and upon taqwa. You find them obedience, we love that obedience. We love it because Allah Ta'ala ordered it. We love it because this is part of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We find opposite of that, we hate it. We hate it, the bid'ah, because it is in opposition to the sunnah. He said, if this foolishness of gathering has went to such a degree that there are people who are saying that we, the Muslims, should get with the Christians and the Jews, because it's all three heavenly faiths, and we can all get together, and they were working and striving to come up with one form of prayer that wouldn't offend any particular participant, and so on and so forth. Haq and batil can never come together. Islam is haq, and the rest is batil, they can never come together. But our wajib, our obligation is to what? Stick to the haq, to stick to the sunnah. Bring those near who are upon the sunnah and who are upon the haq, who are upon the way of Salaf Saleh. Staying away and avoiding those who are upon other than that, unless we are giving them da'wah. And he continued of giving an example to this matter of the Minhaj al-Salaf and that and the situation that we're living in now. He says it's like the situation of a river and the source of the river. That if you follow the tracks of the river and you go down, and the people living on each side of the river are starting to put filth and garbage and possibly relieve themselves and whatever else into the river. What happens to that river over a period of time? It becomes dirty and polluted. Then the people start to drink from it. And over a period of time, what happens to them? They become sick, and many of them die. When they are in the state of weakness, their enemy comes and takes over. The people split into three groups regarding this matter. First group said, let's get everybody well. So they spent all types of money and built hospitals and clinics and got doctors and medicine and so on and so forth. Let's get everybody well. Let's deal with the disease that they have gotten. Let's get everybody well. Another group says, no, we don't want not everybody well. Right now, they came and attacked us, the enemies. Let's go out and destroy the enemy. So let's prepare to meet our enemy. Let's go. Let's do this now. And the wise group said, no, let's clean the water. Let's clean the water. Let's go back to the beginning of the source. Get our water from the freshest source. This water is Islam. All this has been that has polluted it is not Islam. And that which has polluted it has made us sick, and therefore we became weak, and then our enemies overtook us. But those upon the deen al-haq and upon the way of Salaf Saleh, saying, let's go back to Amr al-Awwal. Let's go back to the first matter. Get our water from a clean source. Clean all of this filth that has been connected to Islam and is not from Islam. What is called tanqih or tasfiyah. Cleanse it. Take up all the filth until the water is totally clean as it was before. Totally pure as it was before. Right? Not the other things that the other individuals want to do. They want to heal the people while the people will go back and drink once again from the dirty source. They want to attack the enemy and the enemy attacked them because they were weak and they're still weak. So how can they attack the enemy? But the people of Haq are saying, cleanse it. Cleanse that of this, bring the Islam that was revealed from the heavens and presented to the people. Cleanse it. And then once we cleanse it from the lies that is put on it, the innovations that people have introduced to Islam and it's not from it, from things that people imagine to be Islam and Islam is innocent of it, then what can we do? The people can drink from it. That's called tarbiyah, raising the people. So they come to learn what is Islam. What is the deen of Allah tabarak ta'ala? What does Allah tabarak wa ta'ala want from me? And so on and so forth. This is the da'wah of the haq. We are not in a situation now, and as the Muslims are trying to do, splitting into groups and bringing jama'at, and every jama'at saying we have an amir, and so on and so forth. He said he will speak to this also in greater detail, but this is separation of the Muslims. This is separation of the Muslims. Bringing the Muslims, gathering the Muslims together while they are upon the Islam that is not pure. And they have not yet begun to understand what is correct Islam. Let alone apply that which is correct Islam. And you want to bring a group and put amir rulers over one another and so on and so forth. We have not done anything for separate. This is not the time for creating groups and applying amirs. This is not the time for that, as he says. The time now, from what the scholars of Islam tell us, from those we are ordered to listen to and respect them and follow their dictates as long as it is not against Kitab al-Sunnah is a time for tarbiyah, tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. Cleansing the deen of Allah Ta'ala with what is polluted, has been polluted with it, that people think is part of Islam, and it's not, in raising the Muslims upon that clear Islam.
الآن أظن أن الأمور قد اتضحت لكم بحيث يمكنني أن أسألكم. مسجدان، مسجد ومسجد، كل مسجد له إمام وفيه مصلون يصلون الحمد لله، وهذا مسجد كذلك، جمعيتان، جمعية لها رئاسة وجمعية أخرى لها رئاسة، هذه تعمل في مدينة وهذه تعمل في مدينة، هل هذا يخالف الشرع في شيء؟ هذا تنوع أم تضاد؟ من يجيب على هذا السؤال ممن يفهمون العربية؟ تنوع، لا إشكال أن يكون في أمريكا جمعية قرآن والسنة تعمل في مكان، هناك جمعية أخرى تعمل في مكان آخر، ما في تضاد بينهم، لكنهم على عقيدة واحدة ومنهج واحد، وكل جمعية تخدم المدينة التي تعيش فيها أو المنطقة التي تتحرك فيها دون أن يحصل تعارض، وهذه جمعيات لخدمة المسلمين ليست لتحزيب المسلمين. لكن لو أن هذه الجمعيات أو المدارس أو المساجد تحزبت، قالوا سنعمل مسابقة بين مسجد عمر بن الخطاب ومسجد خالد بن الوليد، هنا بدأنا نتحزب، يعني هناك فريق يمثل هذا المسجد وهناك فريق يمثل ذاك المسجد. لا، لو عملنا مسابقة للقرآن الكريم كل واحد يمثل نفسه لا بأس، لكن نقول هذا فريق مسجد فلان وهذا فريق مسجد كذا، وهذا هذه جمعية كذا تمثل نفسها بفريق وهذه جمعية كذا، هذا ما ينبغي، هذا ما ينبغي، ولا يجوز التحزب على أي شيء إطلاقا ولو كان من الدين، تحزب ممنوع، تقسيم المسلمين إلى جماعات متحاربة متضاربة ممنوع. لذلك نقول الآن نحن إما أن نعيش في بلاد إسلام في دول الإسلام، وإما أن نعيش في بلاد كفر. من كان منا يعيش في بلاد الإسلام، من كان منا يعيش في بلاد الإسلام، فالله عز وجل يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، فنطيع حكام المسلمين ما داموا مسلمين في الطاعة في المعروف، وإذا أمرونا بالزنا بشرب الخمر ما نطيعهم. أنا دخلت مصر خلاص حاكم هذه البلاد ولي أمر، خرجت من مصر رحت السعودية حاكم هذه البلاد ولي أمر، أينما حللت وارتحلت فأنا أتعاون مع المسلمين في البلاد التي أنزل فيها على البر والتقوى، ولا أنازع الحكام ولا ولاة الأمور في تلك البلاد، ولا أنشئ كيانات تنازعهم، هذا لا يجوز، لا ننازع الأمر أهله. أما الكفار كهذه البلاد فأنتم ما دخلتم هذه البلاد إلا كما يقال بشروط وبعهود ومواثيق، لو عرفوا أنكم تدخلون هذه البلاد لتعملوا تفجيرات ولتعملوا هل يسمحون لكم؟ ما يسمحون. المؤمن لا يغدر والأنبياء لا يغدرون. نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل هرقل أبا سفيان حال كفره هل يغدر؟ قال لا. قال سألتك هل يغدر؟ فأجبت أن لا، وكذلك الأنبياء لا يغدرون. فالمؤمن في بلاد الإسلام يسمع ويطيع لولاة الأمور من المسلمين، ولا يجوز له أن ينشئ جماعة تنازعهم أو فرقة تعاكسهم وتخرج عليهم، لا يجوز، لا سرا ولا علانية. أما إنشاء المدارس والمعاهد وبناء المساجد والجمعيات الخيرية التي تساعد المسلمين، ما دمنا في خدمة المسلمين بدون تحزب وبدون تعنصر فهذا لا شيء فيه. أما لو عملنا جمعية خيرية في الظاهر لكنها حزبية في الباطن، ها ما الجواب؟ يحرم. إذن حتى الجمعية الخيرية يمكن أن تكون حزبية، حتى المدرسة يمكن أن تكون حزبية، يمكن أن أنشئ مدرسة لتحفيظ القرآن الكريم لكنها في الباطن الغرض منها التحزب. إذن التحزب والتكتل في فرق وجماعات هذا هو الممنوع. الانفصال عن جسم الأمة بكيان خاص هذا ممنوع. أن ننفصل عن المسلمين بكيان يخصنا هذا ممنوع. أما أن نخدم المسلمين دون تحزب، أنا أنشأت مدرسة لتحفيظ القرآن الكريم، هل هذه المدرسة يمكن أن تقوم على جهد فردي ولا لابد أن يكون لها من مدير ومدرسون وفراشون وفيها إمكانات عمل جماعي، لكنه ليس حزبيا، ليس تكتليا، بل هو لخدمة المسلمين. وهكذا فالمسألة إذا كان التعاون على البر والتقوى دون تحزب وتكتل وانفصال عن جسم الأمة فهذا مشروع. أما إذا كان العمل في أصله مشروعا خيريا، تحفيظ القرآن أو جمعية خيرية، لكن بالانفصال عن جسم الأمة بأن ننشئ كيانا خاصا بنا له ولاء خاص وبراء خاص وله تفاصيل مخصوصة لا يعلمها أحد إلا من دخل معنا، أما هذا فلا، هذا لا يجوز بحال. فبارك الله فيكم، أظن أنه مما سبق ذكره وقد أطلت عليكم قد اتضحت الضوابط والمحاذير، وأن الاجتماع لابد أن يكون على الحق، وأن التعاون لابد أن يكون على البر والتقوى. وأما المحاذير فهذا الانفصال عن جسم الأمة وهذا التكتل والتحزب، والذي في الغالب يكون سريا. وقد قال بعض أهل العلم إذا رأيت قوما يتناجون في الدين فاعلم أنهم على تأسيس ضلالة. إذا كان الدين سرا وعندنا سريات فاعلم أن هذا على تأسيس ضلالة. الدين واضح وظاهر وليس فيه خفاء وليس فيه شيء يقال في السر. دين الله عز وجل دين بين واضح، ليس فيه سريات ولا تكتلات ولا حزبيات ولا فرق ولا جماعات. وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق، على ما كان عليه النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأصحابه، وأن يقينا جميعا شر البدع والفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وأن يقينا شر التحزب والتفرق والتشرذم أيا كانت الأسماء وأيا كانت الشارات. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم.
In closing, the Sheikh wanted us to understand an example between working collectively in that which is permissible and that which is impermissible of the hizbiyya that we have been discussing and talking about. He said, for instance, if there are two masajid, masjid here and a masjid on the other side of town or whatever, each of them have an imam, or there is a jama'iyya, for instance, the society, for instance, of Qur'an and Sunnah, and it has its president, or another society that is also calling to Kitab wa Sunnah and has its president, director, whatever. He said, is this from the wrong type of differing, in the sense of having two, or from the permissible type? He said, oh, no doubt, this is a permissible type, as long as his hizbiyya is not included in it. For instance, someone established a facility for children to memorize Qur'an, and someone else established another facility to do some other khayr. All of this is good under the general verse, help one another upon good and taqwa. Hizbiyya enters into it when the group from Masjid Khalid ibn Abi Walid, or in Masjid, and the other one is Masjid, say Umair or whatever, and they start to what? Compete with one another. This having loyalty to that Masjid, and this one having loyalty to that Masjid, then this is where the hizbiyya and the separation and that which is haram comes in. So in general, he said, what we understand now is that we are to follow Kitab or Sunnah in the way the Salaf Salih. We are to have the general brotherhood that the Muslims possess for one another. And if we are living in a land of where the majority of the population is Muslim, like for instance he said, if I go to Egypt now, I am not allowed to separate myself from the Muslims, nor go out against the ruler, as long as the ruler of that country is within the folds of Islam. He said, because the ayah says, what? Obey Allah and obey the messenger of those in authority amongst you. I go to Egypt and I do that which is permissible. I don't obey him if he orders me to do that which is displeasing to Allah. I only obey him only on that which is ma'ruf. And if I go to Saudiya, the particular ruler in Saudiya is the those in authority amongst there, and I do, and my position is the same. And if I come here, I am ordered to be with the Muslims, to join with the Muslims, to be upon Kitab and Sunnah, but they are not allowed for me to create a framework in which I'm separating myself from the rest of the Muslims of the world and having my own group and having my own authority and my group have allegiance to me, somehow separating themselves, as he puts it, separating themselves from the Islamic world, whereas the Islamic world is all one and all of, and it is Muslims. So this is something that is not or permissible. Similarly, those Muslims who will come to lands such as this, where they have been have signed an agreement or have made an agreement when they were allowed in, that they would follow the laws and not create disturbances and so on and so forth. Those groups, he said, who will come into a place and blow up buildings and blow up cars and blow up masajid, said they wouldn't have let you in here if they thought you were going to do that. The Muslim is not deceitful. He does not betray his agreements of honor. And he gave example of this, that when the ruler asked Abu Sufyan about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he deceitful? He said, no, he's not deceitful. In general, if there is any, as a general rule, to understand this more clear, if there's any gathering of Muslims upon khayr, upon reading Quran, upon practicing sunnah, upon establishing a masjid, upon establishing a school, it has to have, of course he can't do it by himself, it has to have a director, it has to have a board of directors possibly, it has to have a president maybe, it has to have a banker, it has a treasurer or whatever, organization. But when it becomes a situation where those with us are with us, and those outside of this is not with us, we have some understanding amongst one another about issues that are secret, that only us only those who belong to us know about these secrets. Those who are truly members amongst us are privy to these secrets. This is where the Hizbiyya come in. As the Prophet, one of the Salaf said, you will not find two people talking about doing something in the deen of Allah and being secret amongst themselves, except they are trying to destroy Islam. In the sense that they are calling to Hizbiyya and separating the Muslims. Because Islam is wadih, clear, and Islam is out, open, public. So he said these, even though he wanted to go in much detail, he felt that he was being too long upon you, and that he was taking a long time to say many of the things that he wanted to say. But that from a general standpoint, you can understand that we must call to Kitab wa Sunnah on the way to Salaf Saleh. But we must not create groups. We must not create our own jama'ahs with our own amirs. We must not create situation of excluding other Muslims. And we must not disconnect ourselves from the general populations of the Muslims. This is no way is the way of the Salaf Saleh. And he said he asked Allah Ta'ala to guide us and to keep us upon the path of Kitab and Sunnah. JazakAllah.
Jazakum Allah khair, ya Shaykh Hussain Makusi. Inshallah, on the schedule now we have lunch from now until 4:30. Inshallah, the next lecture will be by Shaykh Hamad Musa Nasir on Dajjal.